experience, Lord, everything that you have for us. Lord, that we would receive, Lord, a dose of your peace, an encouragement, Lord, for our hearts, Lord, and as your faithfulness, Lord, is faithful, Lord, to us at all times. We pray right now, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding, Lord, be opened in a greater way, Lord, to experience who you are in our lives, Lord, working now, even though we don't even recognize it, Lord. Help us to see you working in our lives. We just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, it's your goodness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. So, Lord, we just choose, Lord, to let our minds and our hearts be changed today, Lord, in any way, Lord, that has been resisting you, Lord. We choose to change. We choose to change our minds and our hearts. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can declare, Lord, that this is a happy day, Lord, because of you in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Changes.
Praise the Lord.
Report. We've been talking the past month about the Van Horn family. Some of you guys know them well. Their daughter in September was attacked in the night and left for dead. And she has been in intensive care, many, many surgeries and much damage done. However, yesterday was a great day for her. She's been going to Bethel School of Worship in Redding, California, and so she has a lot of friends there, and she's been on like so many prayer chains and all of that, all across the world, actually. And a friend of hers from Bethel got a song of the Lord for her and sang it and posted it on the page that is the prayer page for Kimmy. And so Mom, Kelly, played it for Kimmy yesterday. And Kimmy's been having a very hard time going to sleep and staying asleep. She's been just catnapping. Her mind just starts to overthink and overload, and then she just startles awake just after maybe an hour. So when this song came on and began to play, she nestled down in her pillow, and as the song was playing, fell into a deep sleep with a smile on her face for the first time since the attack. And when she woke up, physical therapy came by and asked, did she want to go for a walk and ride in the wheelchair? And of course, she's very tired of the bed. She's not communicating 100%, but it's like, yeah, like, you know, big shake of the head, big smile. So they took her out and put her in the wheelchair. She actually, for the first time in 6 weeks, stood four times and took two steps. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So it's big, 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 big leaps and bounds yesterday for her. She is still in critical care. She is still having to go through, it'll be months and months and months of rehab. But God has been so gracious and so kind. And I was thinking about that as we were singing, thinking about Kimmy. And, you know, it's talking about, you know, your joy comes after the, you know, in the morning after the night. She's had a long night, you know, a long battle for over a month now. And she's starting to see glimmer of the dawn. And some of us, our battle has been shorter. And for some of us, the battle has been longer.
Right.
But it doesn't negate that we're in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a battle. And Jesus is the victor. Already we know the end of the story. We know it. We already know he's won. So in that victory, we can find peace even in the midst of the night. And so continue to pray for Kimmy. She is just a precious, precious young woman, and truly loves the Lord with all of her heart, and so gifted. I believe God's really going to use this as a true platform of testimony and praise, that his name will be glorified through all of this. So continue to pray for her.
For evil and destruction, God is going to make,
he's turning it for good. Yes.
And not only her life, but in the life of family members and loved ones,
and all of us that are connected in some way or another. Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to finish chapter 11 of John. And I think this is the first chapter that we stayed in the chapter the whole time. So, must be a reason.
Didn't we take a break that one Sunday?
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess, yeah, that was a spirit-led moment. So, right, never mind. What I said was just a lie. Isn't that not true?
Not a lie, just a misrepresentation.
Misrepresentation. Okay. The difference between a lie and misrepresentation. I didn't know. I was thinking of a like we get a message, but we got a message. We just didn't get it like before church.
Right.
It's when you got that that impression of that was good. Okay, well, praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about taking away the stone. And we're just going to read verse 37 through 39, which we read last week, and just kind of pause there for a moment.
Okay. 37, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone.
Take away the stone. Now, if you remember last week, we were talking about how Jesus was moved and how it was we learned by the words that were being used that it wasn't just that he was moved, it's that there was like a roaring going on inside of him. And that word moved literally means to like snort inside. You know, I think I acted like a rhinoceros. I mean, you know, there was like a frustration and a stirring that was going on in him. And so we see here again that he's deeply moved again, and that there's a rumbling that's going on inside of him, and he came to the tomb. So he's seeing this place that, as was described, probably, you know, the mourners were coming. It's probably, again, a very, very deathful scene. It probably had the atmosphere of sorrow and grief and despair and loss and no hope, and in this he's pushing through as he hears the people say, oh, this is, you know, we know that Jesus hears the hearts of people, even if they were thinking or whispering to each other. He knew they were thinking, this is a man who opened the eyes of the blind. Couldn't he have kept this man from dying? Couldn't he have at least done that? You know, his friend. I mean, It's this scene of where you believe God was going to meet your needs according to his riches and glory, because he's your friend. You know, you trust in him. You hope in him being able to take care of your life completely. I'm trying to get us to relate to who Mary and Martha were and Lazarus, you know, as he was getting sick. We don't know how his sickness was, if he was out of it or if he was waiting for Jesus just as much as anyone else. Vicki?
It's also said that we wait for the instant miracle, the instant gratification, the now miracle, and we fail. And this could be where his frustration was. We were failing to see the coming miracle.
Right.
Right.
We get caught up, as we've said before, and this is a great illustration, how we get caught up in the moment. We get caught up in the now. We get caught up in what our circumstances and our situation looks like now, not realizing that an hour from now it could be different. You know, think of Joseph. You know, Joseph was not Joseph, Jesus' dad, but Joseph, the son of Israel, in jail for 2 years after he was promised by God that he was going to be in this great leadership role. You know, he was in the house of Pharaoh. He was in great leadership, but because of Pharaoh's wife wanted to seduce him, he ended up having to run from her, and then she falsely accuses him of trying to seduce her. And so there's this, you know, this false accusation that lands him in prison, and we don't know what was going on in Joseph's heart. We know that obviously he was still one who was connected with God, because the next day when he's called on to give the interpretation of a dream, he's right there. And we know that while he was even in prison, that he was kind of helping leading the prison. But still, there was that moment of where I'm sure when the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker, you know, those two, it was the butcher, not the butcher. It was the cupbearer, and it was the baker. Yeah. Butcher, baker. Anyway, it was the cupbearer and the baker. Anyway, they had dreams. And so, you know, we don't know how long this was before that. Could have been another year or so that he waited after the cupbearer said that he would go ahead and let Pharaoh know about him.
Right.
And so what I'm trying to say is that our timing is not necessarily God's timing.
Right.
And in this situation, obviously, they're going to receive a great deliverance. But some of us, even though Jesus has says, take away the stone, it's not a physical stone. It's not that our miracle is going to be evident right away.
And this is where I really wanted to go with this, is that when I read this, I thought, how many of us put a stone over our hearts when we get in those situations? And that our heart becomes entombed, you know, and mummified, and it becomes, even though at once it was alive and vibrant and it was full of the blessings and the love of God and everything, but it's like something happens, it gets sick, it gets ill, and then it literally dies. And you know, we put it away, and there's a stone that gets put over it. You know, you can call it a heart of stone, We know that when we receive Christ, we have a heart of stone that's turned into a heart of flesh. But even this heart of flesh can get to a place where it just dries up.
Despair,
anguish, grief, loss. You know, and how about this? How about just being let down? We think that God let us down. You know, and so we lose hope in the one that we're supposed to continue and maintain our hope in. And so Jesus, I believe, then comes to us and says, take away this stone. You know, and it could be just an event when, we're reading the word, you know, and all of a sudden something jumps off the page, or we're listening to a certain song, you know, or we're at a church service, or we're talking to someone that we've entrusted with our heart and our lives, and they say something, and all of a sudden we realize that Jesus is trying to address this situation of this death in our lives, and it's a broken heart. It's, you know, it says that to guard that heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Well, if it's dead, there's no life in us.
But is that a heart that's not been guarded?
Well, I would say that because of letting the situation, like we said last week,
become
so heavy for us that the grief overtakes us.
Right.
And we can't see through that grief, that darkness.
Right.
And it's contrary to who we are in Christ, because we are light. We are life. He is life. He is in us. So we have life. So we are life. But we can still let life itself take away that life. We can still let darkness take away our light, because we don't continue to yield. That's why, you know, for the saying that, you know, we live and move and have our being in God. But Paul is constantly reminding, remain in Christ. He's telling mm-hmm. the church, make sure you're remaining in Christ. Mm-hmm. I think Peter says, you know, make sure and check and see if you're still in the faith. In other words, where's your security? Where's your anchor? And so here we have this moment, and I believe Jesus is deeply moved when our heart's in a state of not really living the way that he wants us to live.
I'm sure
that
it abundant almost breaks life. His heart.
What?
It almost breaks his heart, I'm sure.
I'm sure he rumbles.
That groaning.
That mm-hmm. groaning. And he's like a rhinoceros, and he wants to plow through that brick wall that's keeping us from knowing his full love. Knowing that I always think of this saying. It says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you, to not let our hearts be troubled or let it be afraid. So it's interesting that Jesus utilizes peace not just when it comes to being, you know, like anxious, but he also uses it for being troubled and being afraid. Mm-hmm. That his peace is something that can overtake those two items. And so sometimes we think, oh, I need, you know, the love of God to fill my heart to get rid of this. But sometimes we just need the peace of God to come in and say, be still. Is this making sense?
It is. And I still am going to go back to that scripture that you said about guarding our hearts with all diligence, because out of it springs the issues of life. Are we diligently every day, every minute of every day, guarding our heart? Or are we happy-go-lucky going along thinking, oh, me and Jesus have got this, you know, but then we allow this or that to come in and begin to splinter that diligence. I think that is the key right there, is that we remember that we have to guard this heart with all diligence. Like, I'm sure I would have reacted way differently to the death of my dad had I diligently guarded my heart at that time and said, okay, God, one of the people that I most love in the whole wide world is suddenly taken. I'm having a hard time with this, but I want to guard my... If I'd have done that, I'm wondering if my grief would have still been... Not that it was a bad thing that I went through that deep of grief, because now on the other side I can see that it was the move of God. But if I'd have been diligent about guarding my heart, I wasn't very diligent about guarding my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I was very diligent about noticing who didn't come to the funeral. I was very diligent about noticing who'd never called me. I was very diligent about where was my church family when my dad died. I was very diligent about that. But I wasn't very diligent about guarding my heart. Had I guarded my heart, I believe that it would have gone way differently. And can't we say that about every instance in our life? I really believe that this is a big key, is guarding our hearts with all diligence.
Well, if you think about it, you know, if the situations, and we know that even in brokenness, that God takes that brokenness and he uses it for his glory.
Right.
Just as the death of Lazarus, mm-hmm. which made no sense in the natural to everybody that was there, because he was the life giver. You know, he was the one that raised the dead. He was the one that healed the blind. He was so, and they had relationship with him. They weren't some beggar, you know, on the street. They were his friends, you know, probably very close, dear friends, right. You know, as we, you know, we've kind of gotten through the story to the place where, you know, he's just sitting at their house and they're getting, you know, a meal ready, and Mary's just sitting at his feet. Doesn't say that hardly anybody else is there, but it's, we know that she's there in that story.
It has to be a pretty intimate relationship, meaning that it has to be pretty deep relationship for somebody to sit at your feet. I don't sit at just anybody's feet. I sit at my husband's feet sometimes. I sat at my dad's feet a lot. But it's not just anybody that I will go in and crawl on the floor and just sit right beside their legs at their feet. That's a deep, true commitment of friendship and love.
Exactly.
And all
no,
of
it's
that.
Very similar to John laying his head
on Jesus'
chest.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And hearing his heartbeat, you know, hearing that intimacy, closeness.
But all of us have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. We do.
All of us have the opportunity to sit at his feet like Mary did and to lay back on his breast like John did. Every single one of us. And do we miss it?
Mm-hmm.
We miss opportunity so much. I miss it. No condemnations for those that are in Christ Jesus.
There is none. And we do have to come to a place where we realize that we've let our heart be overwhelmed, mm-hmm. you know. But there should not be condemnation where we feel shame and because it is part of life. Mm-hmm. Part of life is experiencing problems. Part of life is experiencing setbacks. You know, in this life you're going to have tribulations. Jesus said, you know, yeah. You're going to have trouble. You know, keep here's that Bible verse. So above all, guard the affections of your heart. That's how it's putting guarding your heart, mm-hmm. the affections of your heart. How your heart is viewing things. Mm-hmm. You know, how your heart is being affected. I would say, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from them flows the wellspring of life. Now this is Proverbs, you know, 4, and this is, you know,
423,
way before Jesus is on mm-hmm. the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being is that this is a truth that if we don't, Jesus will have to come and say, take the stone away.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's interesting, you know, why was the stone there? Some people say so that others couldn't enter and mess with the bodies, you know, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it also could be because of what we see Martha saying, Lord, he's been in there 4 days.
4 days.
He might stink.
Pew
there might
deep.
Be an odor. As much
yeah.
as we've tried to, you know, and protect his body and keep it from, he might, there's an odor. It's going to stink, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a lot of times when our heart gets to that place, you know, we put a stone over it, and when it, you know, every now and then we do open it to others and it stinks.
Mm.
You know, it's putrid. You know, people hear that abundance of a heart that's coming out when we've let it become bitter and angry and resentful. We let it become something that God never intended it to be. He intended our heart to be vibrant and flowing and full of life. And it's interesting, you know, again, when you think of the heart, the natural heart, mm-hmm. what does it do? It pumps the life flow throughout our entire being. It is what carries the white blood cells, and it carries the antibodies, and it carries everything that our body needs to be vibrant and alive. Mm-hmm. And when that heart is damaged, or I'm sure it has a hard time carrying life through our body. Okay, I didn't know we were going to go there exactly, okay. But let's take a look at the next verse and get to where we want to go.
I guess it continues on.
Martha, yep.
Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me."
So Martha is like, "Lord, I know what you want to do here." And the thing is that she, when he was asking to take away the stone, she still wasn't getting it. She still, some of the commentators think that maybe she was thinking that maybe he just wanted to see him for one last time, mm-hmm. you know, and that, you know, this was beyond what they could understand. This wasn't somebody that had just died, like the young man who was being taken to his burial place, and Jesus stopped the funeral procession along the way and gave the young man back to his mother. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there was a finalization here. I guess after 3 days, they would notice that the body would start to like just shrink and decay on itself, and that's one of the reasons why they wrapped the body and the head and everything, because mm-hmm. it wasn't just to, you know, with the spices, but it's also to not see what they were becoming, mm-hmm. because all of the life was completely out of them, and so this was past the point of hope. Mm-hmm. We have to realize that this scene was not in anybody's expectation. This went beyond. This was God.
Anybody's radar.
This was all God. And you know, and sometimes in our lives, when we're in a certain state, it's all God. Mm-hmm. We're not seeking for Him. We're not looking for Him. But He's got us on His radar. Mm-hmm. He's scoped us out, and He says, "This is your day where I'm going to speak life into you." Mm-hmm. I know that's kind of how it was when I got saved. I wasn't necessarily looking for God at first, mm-hmm. but when He started drawing me, it's like I was like almost like a sponge being drawn to Him, or I was like a moth to His light being drawn. I couldn't help it, mm-hmm. because He was putting it in me to be drawn to Him. So He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And again, she's just like, "What?" I still don't think she's getting it. Mm-hmm. Nobody's getting it. So they took away the stone. They're listening to Him. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Keep reading.
"I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me."
Go ahead and stop there for a moment. So Jesus doesn't just speak Lazarus, he's saying, "Lord, Father, I thank you that you hear me, and I know that you always hear me." Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this so that, you know, I'm reassuring myself. I'm saying this so that the people who are around here right now, they're going to believe that you sent me. Because it's me calling on the power that you have enabled me with. Mm-hmm. And so then he goes and he says, go ahead. "When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice." Sorry. "When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out.' a loud voice. This Greek word is megas, and this is where we get the word mega, like megatron,
megaphone.
It's loud and it's over the top. So I'm not going to scream as loud as Jesus did, but Jesus didn't need to say it loud. He could have just said, "Lazarus, come forth." Because it wasn't in his volume. It's not in our volume. Mm-mm. It's in our, it's in the declaration of faith that when we say something to God. I mean, we know that God hears our prayers even before we speak them. Mm-hmm. Could Jesus just have extended his hand? Probably could have, right? Mm-hmm. I like this. I've heard somebody say, did you know that there could have potentially been as many as 8 people in that tomb? That's how many people could be in a tomb.
Wow.
So you think about this. He says, Lazarus, come forth. If he just said, come forth, maybe
the whole party
could have been the whole party. We don't know how many were in the tomb, but I think that's an interesting note that, that Lazarus was specifically spoken out. And one of the translations, I like this translation. I'm going to read it here to you. Hang on here, John. It says,
43 right there.
Yeah, 43. This is how it would sound if you were just translate it directly in the Greek. Lazarus, here, outside.
Wow.
Like, Lazarus, come here, outside.
Right.
That's the way he said it. Very demanding. And so, the next scene... And I believe this is us. When God speaks to that heart, when he brings it back to life. Mm-hmm. Come on, you guys can relate to this, where you've been, you feel like, boy, I'm just like at the end of my faith here. It feels like I don't even have enough to go on. I can't survive anymore, you know, and you really feel like you're losing your faith. You feel like you might be at the end of this. And God says, no, 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 no. I speak life. And it's funny because sometimes, you know, it's like immediately. And we're just like, we're back in it. Everything's great. But other times, it's like this. The man who had died came out with his hands and feet bound with linen strips. And his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Sometimes we come back, but we need others in our lives to unbind us. You know, this was really kind of, they say, even a miracle that he was even able to get out of the situation that he was in, because he couldn't see. He was, they did it just like this. So, I mean, I don't know how he moved. Like, can you imagine? I mean, just picture yourself, Martha, just like after Jesus said that, and you're like, and all of a sudden you hear like rustling coming up, and what? And you look, and here is the grave clothes that you put him in, most likely as a family. You helped place him in that place, and now you see him, and you can't see what he looks like, but still you're probably thinking on the other side of those grave clothes, it's got to be a face that's, you know, been deteriorating. But no, they unwrap it and it's him. Mm-hmm. He's alive. He's been restored. And so they unbind him and they let him go. And it says that many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. I would think so. But not all of them. Isn't this crazy? Not all of them believed. Mm-hmm. Some doubted. So much so that some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. I think we're going to end it there, because the next part, I think, is something could stand on its own. So... when we hear the story of Lazarus, and I mean, I've read it, I don't know how many times through the Bible, and, you know, I've always gotten a little something else out of it. Mm-hmm. I've never looked at, you know, Lazarus being, you know, our lives, our heart, you know, our existence. Mm-hmm. Because I believe when our heart is corrupted through pain, sorrow, grief, loss, whatever, however, you know, we want to call it, then we end up like being mummified. And I don't bring a lot of glory to God when I'm in that state. But thank you, Jesus, that he comes and he speaks life into my situation. Mm-hmm. He speaks life into your situation. Like when you said, you know, when you lost your dad, you lost your Aunt Vera and your mom. I mean, those are dark times. Mm-hmm. But you also had that hope in you, knowing that the Lord would bring a new day. Mm-hmm. But he had to speak to your heart, didn't he?
Yeah. Still is.
Yeah, it still is speaking. So you still have some grave clothes?
No, I think, I just think that I still have some truth to unwrap through it, you know.
Oh, like in other words?
Like asking you to forgive me, because I know that at times when my heart did get open, there was putrid that came out.
Oh, yeah.
So please forgive me, babe.
Oh, I forgive you.
But you see what I mean? Like
right.
There are still things that come to you that... You're like, wow, I didn't even see it that way. But it is what it is.
Does anyone have anything that's on their heart? No? Come on. Nobody's got nothing? Nobody relates? What? Had a good week. Praise the Lord. Your job's going well? Good. That's awesome. Well, the thing is that I want us to realize that we need to always be aware of how we're being affected and to be honest and transparent with people that we love and say, wow, you know, this is affecting me, or that affected me. I know for me, there's like certain things that I can see on TV and I can just feel them, like it's intertwining into my heart. I can feel like it's doing something inside of me. Not necessarily my mind. It feels like it's going beyond my mind and it's affecting my heart. It's affecting my inner man. And as that scripture, how did that scripture put it again? I thought that was really well put, the way that the Passion Translation put it. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Mm-hmm. So our affections of our heart affect all that we are. And so I look at it that it's not just about what we look at, because I know some people say, well, it's just what you look at, what you see. But it also can be what we're letting affect us. And, you know, and sometimes we need to, you know, walk away from what's affecting us.
Having the wisdom to walk away.
And
sometimes
the strength.
Sometimes we don't recognize
and the ability
that we need the wisdom and the strength and the ability to walk away.
Well, and sometimes walking away can be, like, awkward. Mm-hmm. Because you could be in a situation when you're walking away, others are like, well, why are you walking away?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they'll think, well, you know, he's just being, you know, holier than thou or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's not what your intent is. Your intent is to try to protect your heart.
Right.
I think the more that you're in, you know, I remember when I was in very, very secular work, not working for a Christian, you know, boss, that you're exposed to all kinds of things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different people, you know, telling stories, different people, you know. Communicating different things, sharing different things, and you had to like say, okay, Lord, protect me from this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more than anything, I think it's how we let, if you look what really messed up Israel, it was when they became bitter and what's, I'm trying to think of another word that they became, that God said they were stubborn and stiff-necked, but... Callous. No, I'm trying to think of another word here. Hang on. Help me, someone. Right. And unthankful. That's the word I'm trying to think. They became unthankful, and they started just looking at their circumstances, and they became like withdrawn from the Lord, even though he was right there with them in a pillar of fire. Keep in mind, I mean, he is a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day, and they were still rebelling. They were still,
but he's in my heart and I still rebel.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, don't we?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being.
Mm-hmm.
How is my innermost being doing? I think that's where Peter said, check yourself. See if you're still in the faith. And what he meant by that, I don't know if he meant still believe in Jesus or if he still meant keeping, I believe, in the same words, you know, as he said, the enemy is out there like a roaring lion seeking who may, hang on here.
He may devour.
Yeah, hang on. That's another good verse. Yeah, Peter. Yeah, hang on here. Yeah, it says here, be well balanced and always alert because your enemy, the devil, roams. Oh, this is 1 Peter 5:8. Be well balanced and always alert because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of troubles that you endure. Then it says, and after a brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Yes, he will set you firmly in place and build you up. And he has all the power needed to do this forever. Amen.
And that personal and profoundly, doesn't he do that with Lazarus?
Mm-hmm.
And that's personally, but it's so profound. It's like, okay, wait, it's been 4 days. Rigor mortis has set in. Rigor mortis now has let loose, and the body is relaxed. I mean, he's beyond dead, pretty much. But he personally and powerfully
restores.
I mean, that's huge, and he does that with every one of us. Lazarus wasn't any more special to him than John, and then Mike, or me, or you. You know what I'm saying? It's just we are the ones that categorize ourselves. Not Jesus. And we need to be very careful because in that categorization, is that a right word?
Characterization.
In
or
that
category. Yeah.
I kind of put two together and made a new word.
Yeah.
But in that, we find comfort doing that. And we need to be very careful not to. We need to recognize that he is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for Vicky, he'll do it for me. If he did it for Zeke, he'll do it for Mike. He's doing it for Kimmy. He'll do it for others. Exactly. But guarding our hearts, I really think, is the key. I really, really believe that. I believe that with everything that's in me, that if we were on guard, it would be like Tim going to his reserve weekend or whatever you guys call it. I can't remember, but drill weekend and not participating. Could you imagine? It'd be terrible.
What's that? That'd be a bad weekend.
Bad weekend. But he's
not
all
only
in.
For you, but for the people that you're leading too, right?
He's diligent about protecting, he's diligent about learning, he's diligent. We have to be that diligent every day. Every moment of every day about our own hearts.
Well, and it's more important than even what he's doing.
It is more important. But he's guarding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the example that I'm giving, is that he's guarding as well our country. We have to be that diligent to guard our hearts, if not more so. Vicki?
Stop to it
immediately.
And he came on there and he said, we will be praying for this boy.
Yeah.
You will be praying for him to see God work in his life and change his heart. And you'll be praying for Victor's, you know, administration for them, because they were not the ones in fault, but that they would be praying for them anyway. And he told them, don't do that. Don't bring that trash here. He didn't want, and he was guarding the sanctity, or whatever you want to call it, of Kimmy and her heart and her healing and what they were believing for.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Shut it down. Just shut it right down. Yes, he did.
And I think that, and it also, because I was kind of like that. You know what I mean? We see things that we see happen, and we have to remember that people, no matter what they've done to us, are not irredeemable.
Say it again.
As long as we have breath on this earth, we are not irredeemable.
Mm-hmm.
That is so powerful. Did you guys hear what she said? That is powerful.
And that we don't know the pain and the sorrow and the abuse and the anguish
and
that
Steve
individual
went
through himself, that made him into what he became,
right.
Even though there may have been choices that he made then, but that he had nothing to do with, that fashioned his heart into a place. Yeah. Well, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to get together. And Lord, we pray that for any of us or anyone that's listening right now, Lord, that is recognizing that they've let their heart become hard and entombed, Lord, and mummified, Lord, into the place where it's dry and shriveling up, Lord, that we would allow you to say, take away the stone, and we'd allow you to speak life into us. That we would yield and surrender, Lord, to your voice in our lives. And that we would let that life-giving word be spoken of coming forth and coming alive. And that we would let those around us, Lord, that are friends and relatives and brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, help remove our grave clothes, Lord, so that we could move freely once again in you. And we just thank you, Lord, for the example in this word today, Lord, that shows us that no matter how bad the situation looks, you are the one that can speak life into it. Just thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we didn't get through chapter 11. Sorry.
We're on the road.
I was thinking that
we're
when
closer.
I was putting together. We're closer, yeah.